I'm looking here just for a quick moment at Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And I'd like for you to stand for the opening reading this morning. I appreciate all my sound booth help back there. And this morning I thought the choir, I thought they really honored the Lord in the song service. The worship was great. Ezekiel chapter 16. I was going to only read one verse of scripture, but I just want to read this. Verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now we're talking about Israel, to know her sins. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. He's bringing them back to where they came from, the land of Canaan. I remember when Joshua took Canaan. Amen. I remember when they flew Israel's flag over Canaan. He said, thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. They came from a heathen. Israel came from a heathen nativity. And as for thy nativity in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut. Thy navel was not cut. Now he's talking to the nation of Israel here. I hope you got just a few moments for me to give you what's on my heart. Neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled or cuddled at all. None I pitied thee. Nobody, no one pitied thee, Israel, to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou was cast out in the open field, cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou was first born. Come from the open field naked. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. When thou was in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou hast increased, in fact, waxen great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare. None, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine, mine. Then I washed thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broided work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou didst exceedingly beautiful. Thou was exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Verse 14 is my text. And thy renown, and thy renown. Somebody say renown. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. Or thy excellence, thy greatness, went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For I was perfect, for it was perfect. It was perfect in my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to read verse number 14 into your hearing one more time. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I have put up, saith the Lord God. You may be seated in the Lord's presence. And we ask the Lord to bless and anoint our message for edification. Not just here in the church, but all those that are listening by Facebook, listening online, radio, wherever you may be picking me up this morning. God is tracing his work on a nation. He's tracing it on the nation of Israel. He took her from nothing and made her a beautiful nation. His complaint is that when she became beautiful, we're talking about the nation of Israel. When she became beautiful, others began to court her, and she turned from him to follow other lovers. Notice here, she began to worship other gods, idol gods. Amen, like the heathen nations of the world. Tragically, we are following the same pattern in the United States of America. I said, tragically, we are following the same pattern in the United States of America. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. But we have turned from our relationship with God, and we too have bowed our knee to Baal and Molech. The first point I wanted to look at this morning real quickly is the fame of her beauty, the excellence of her beauty, the fame of her beauty. Thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. God made Israel beautiful. Throughout the world, people were watching the emergence of this nation. Travelers who would pass through the land would go home and tell their family and friends of this beautiful place that they had visited, speaking again here about the nation of Israel. The people were living in prosperity and peace. They had plenty, and they were happy. They would probably tell on the Sabbath day, everything would shut down, and the people would gather with their families to worship God who had created the heaven and the earth. We're talking about what made Israel great. Amen. I can remember a time when all the merchant stores wasn't open on the Sabbath day. People didn't do no trading then. They went to church, served, honored their families. There was a strong commitment to the marriage vows and a very strong and loving family. I'm talking about what made Israel the great nation that God had birthed them to be. In the United States of America, the marriage vows has been trodden down to the point that a lot of people don't even marry no more. They just move in together and start cohabiting together. And as far as they're concerned, that's as far as they want to go with a vow or a commitment to God. But Israel, they had a strong marriage vow. And because of that, they were a strong family. The land was very fertile and produced over an abundance of food. In Israel, there were fields, beautiful fields of grain, beautiful forests of trees, beautiful cities and villages. They had beautiful vineyards and beautiful orchards. Yes, it was ideal. The people had so much love for their God and for each other that there was no crime. No one had to lock the door at night. They could walk safely anywhere they wanted to, up and down the streets day or night, and they weren't going to get mugged, and the women weren't going to be violated. They had strong commitment to Jehovah God. And there was a strong commitment to family life. I love my wife. I love my family. And I love the church. Could you say that with me? I love my wife. I love my family. And I love our church. Amen. All over the world, people had a desire to come and see this beautiful land of joyful people. The Queen of Sheba, upon her visit, she exclaimed that she could not even fully believe all the reports that was coming to her about this great land and about the wisdom of Solomon. It was so great that she traveled from the utmost parts of the earth to just come and sit at the feet of Solomon and hear his wisdom and see this beautiful land, this place of splendor. Man, could you imagine looking at the temple that took 7 years for Solomon to build, his cedar house? She traveled 1,500 miles across land and sea in a camel train. I mean, this is before air conditioning, and this is before modern travels. This is primitive times, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Could I say that concerning Jesus? A greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was the smartest man in the world. He was the wisest man, had the most wisdom of anybody. But he wasn't Jesus. He wasn't Jesus. There's a greater than Solomon that's here. Listen, Solomon never performed a miracle. He never opened a blinded eye. He never unstopped a deaf ear. He never walked on the water. He never turned the water into wine. Listen, yes, Solomon was a great man, and Israel was a great place. But I want to tell you something. There is a greater than Solomon in this house this morning, in this land today. There's a greater than Solomon that's here. His name is Jesus. He loves his people so much he gave his life. A ransom for many. We have the same thing happening right here in America. God has shed his grace on thee from sea to shining sea. Amen. And give us this great brotherhood. God said, thy beauty was perfect through my comeliness, which I have put upon you. Could I say, it was God who had blessed Israel and made them strong. It was God that swore to them that they were his people as long as they served him. It was God who made them great, covered them with jewels, fed them with the finest foods. They were indeed a beautiful people. I want to say this morning, tragically, you began to trust in your beauty and played the harlot. This is what he said to Israel. After he had blessed him so good, they got involved with other gods, other worship, immoral behavior, idolatry. And so he said, tragically, he said, you began to trust in your beauty and you played the harlot. I'm thinking about the United States of America falling in the same pattern. I can remember our heyday. As I read history, I can remember our heyday. I can remember when we fought England and the 1776, we signed the independence and we got our freedom. I mean, there was just no feat that America could not accomplish because God had shed his grace on us. You know, I'm thinking about World War II, World War I, when Hitler, you know, killed what was 6,000 Jews, 6 million Jews, thank you. And we had to fight Germany. I can remember how men and women in this nation, they give life and limb to fight for this nation. And that was a time when this nation was serving God more fully. This was a time when people were really going to church, really raising their family in Christianity. And God's word was powerful in their lives. They were walking it with the principle of God in their life. And I want to tell you something. It was God that gave us victory over Hitler. It was God that gave us victory to win the war, World War I. Thinking about World War II when we had to fight the Japanese. It was God to give us a victory in World War II. It seemed like no matter what our battles were in this country, because this country was really serving the Lord and for the most part putting Jesus first in their life, in their plans, God has given us victory. I remember the Battle of the Pigs Cuba, the Cuban conflict. But when they saw, I remember my brother Earl was called to go down there as a Navy seaman. He was called to go down there. He was on the ship. But I said, when they seen the American troops coming, their heart must have melted. Because we didn't even have to fight that battle. America was great. I'm afraid that the United States of America is backing away from that call of God, from that dedication of putting Jesus first, being really committed to family life, and having their own local church where they come and worship. God said if we would put him first, all these other things would be added unto us. I'd like for them to throw up on the screen Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34 just for a quick moment. Proverbs 14. Verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, I'm thinking of Psalms 33 and verse 12, just for a quick moment. Remember, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let's never forget, it's righteousness that exalts the nation. And let's don't forget to bless the nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. As long as we hold true to our faith, in the United States of America, we will remain to be the number one superpower of the world. We will remain steadfast to be the superpower of the world as long as we make Jesus the priority that he is to be placed in. He said he was to have the preeminence, the foremost place in all of human experience, and that's for the nation. But if we turn away from him, I'm afraid he will turn from us. You know, King Asa was warned by the prophet of God that the Lord would be with him as long as he would be with the Lord. But if he forsook the Lord would forsake him. And it was recorded that as long as he sought the Lord made his ways to prosper. I believe that's true for the United States of America. As long as our people will have a heart for God, as long as our people will serve God, I believe God's greatness will be endowed upon us continually till Jesus comes. This nation has been great. This nation has been like a food basket to the world. This nation has had sent shipload after shipload, plane load after plane load of food to starving nations. This nation has done great things. I mean, they've sent war equipment. They've sent war equipment to nations to help them fight for their own freedoms. Well, they're doing that in Afghanistan right now as we speak. This nation has done a lot of great things, but I want to tell you the greatest thing, the greatest purpose that God had for this nation is to air the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out to the nations of the world. That has been our call. That's been our call to give the gospel to the nations of the world. Missionaries have traveled in primitive times. They've given their life on foreign fields so that the heathen nations that know not Jesus could be saved. They've given life and limb just like soldiers of the cross. Soldiers has given life and limb to save this nation, to fight for our freedom. There's soldiers of the cross that's given life and limb to make sure the gospel is being spread to the nations of the world. And God has made this nation great because this nation has been a nation that loved Jesus and spread the gospel to the nations of the world. That's my call this morning. I believe it with all of my heart. It's my call to get cameras up in this place, to get set up to preach the gospel to the nations of the world. God can do it in this house. God wants to do it in this house. God wants to do it among this ministry and ministries right here. God shed his grace on thee. He found Israel in the field that had not been washed from their blood, an outcast in the fields of heathen, idolatrous nations. And he shed his grace on Israel, and he clothed them with ornamentations, made them beautiful. He found me at the banks of Calumet River when I was completely in the rough. And he's washed me with water, his own blood, put his Holy Spirit in my life, made me a new creature. Amen. And all things has passed away and all things have become new. Listen, God has shed his grace on you. He shed his grace on this nation. And may we always walk upright before him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. One more time, could you give the Lord some praise in the house? I heard Reverend West preaching on television the other day. He said, I'm done. Then he preached another 15 minutes and said, I'm done. Then he preached a little while longer and said, I'm done. Well, I'm not really completely done, but I think my time's about up. And I'm happy. I will say this. There's greatness in this house of the Lord. There's greatness in this house. Greatness of the Lord in this house. God has brought us together. Just like Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, and America was found in her rough. That's like my life and yours. It's like this country. But God in Christ, if we'll serve him wholeheartedly, we're going to see elevation. And our call is to walk in love for God and each other. Let's stand together. Let me quote one more scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 38, I believe it is. Hebrews 10, verse 38. This is for us. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're not of them that draw back, but we believe toward the saving of the soul. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You're great, Lord. We worship you and honored you in your greatness, Lord. You've been great in this country. You've been great in this church. Lord, you've forgiven us every one 1,000 ways to Sunday. In spite of our imperfections toward you, oftentimes toward each other, we love you. We thank you for your grace being shed on us.